You know who acted exactly as Mad-Eye expected him to, sniffed Tonks. Mad-Eye said he'd expect the real Harry to be with the toughest, most skilled Aurors. He chased Mad-Eye first, and when Mundungus gave them away, he switched to Kingsley. Yes, and that is all very good, snapped Fleur. But still, it does not explain how they knew we were moving Harry tonight, does it? Somebody must have been careless. Somebody let slip the date to an outsider. It is the only explanation for them knowing the date, but not the whole plan.
She glared around at them all, tear tracks still etched on her beautiful face, silently daring any of them to contradict her. Nobody did. The only sound to break the silence was that of Hagrid, hiccuping from behind his handkerchief. Harry glanced at Hagrid, who had just risked his own life to save Harry's. Hagrid, whom he loved, whom he trusted, who had once been tricked into giving Voldemort crucial information in exchange for a dragon's egg. No, Harry said aloud, and they all looked at him surprised. The fire whiskey seemed to have amplified his voice. I mean, if somebody made a mistake, Harry went on, and let something slip, I know they didn't mean to do it. It's not their fault, he repeated, again a little louder than he would usually have spoken. We've got to trust each other. I trust all of you. I don't think anyone in this room would ever sell me to Voldemort. More silence followed his words. They were all looking at him. Harry felt a little hot again and drank some more fire whiskey for something to do. As he drank, he thought of Mad-Eye. Mad-Eye had always been scathing about Dumbledore's willingness to trust people. Well said, Harry, said Fred unexpectedly. Yeah, ear, ear, said George, with a half-glance at Fred, the corner of whose mouth twitched. Lupin was wearing an odd expression as he looked at Harry. It was close to pitying. You think I'm a fool? Demanded Harry.
No.
I think you're like James, said Lupin, who would have regarded it as the height of dishonor to mistrust his friends. Harry knew what Lupin was getting at, that his father had been betrayed by his friend Peter Pettigrew. He felt irrationally angry. He wanted to argue, but Lupin had turned away from him, set down his glass upon a side table, and addressed Bill. There's work to do. I can ask Kingsley whether... No, said Bill at once. I'll do it. I'll come.
Where are you going? Said Tonks and Fleur together. Mad-Eye's body, said Lupin. We need to recover it.
Can't it?
Began Mrs. Weasley with an appealing look at Bill.
Wait,
said Bill. Not unless you'd rather the Death Eaters took it. Nobody spoke. Lupin and Bill said goodbye and left. The rest of them now dropped into chairs, all except for Harry, who remained standing. The suddenness and completeness of death was with them like a presence. I've got to go too, said Harry. 10 pairs of startled eyes looked at him.
Don't be silly, Harry, said Mrs. Weasley. What are you talking about? I can't stay here.
He rubbed his forehead. It was prickling again. It had not hurt like this for more than a year. You're all in danger while I'm here. I don't want...
But don't be so silly, said Mrs. Weasley. The whole point of tonight was to get you here safely, and thank goodness it worked. And Fleur's agreed to get married here rather than in France. We've arranged everything so that we can all stay together and look after you.